Hi, it's Christina Rowe from Women Helping Women Entrepreneurs. I am so excited to be here today with Jennifer Lamprey from Quickening. She is absolutely amazing. She is one of our VIP Standout Online members. So hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Christina.
You are just absolutely amazing. And I asked you some questions about your journey to success, to how you got to the way, you know, where you are now. So just tell us a little bit how you started. How did you become an entrepreneur?
Just to simplify it a little bit, I think the biggest thing is that my dad has been an entrepreneur my whole life. And when you grow up, you know, my parents didn't graduate college and they didn't go that route. They got married at 20, 21. My dad started a pool business and it's in my blood. Honestly, like it's in my blood. So I also really love freedom. I love having freedom. I love progress. I just love having the opportunity to support other people and really be able to have like cultures and things that I want. And I just saw a lot from my dad. I saw what not to do. I saw what to do. And I started learning really what it is that was important to me. And I think just having him, I don't know, it's actually pretty cool to think about. What I really think about that what he was doing and the energy he was bringing into our home. As kids, so all of us now are entrepreneurs. All of us own businesses. He has three kids and I have two brothers and me, and we're all entrepreneurs. Both my brothers are very successful. My other brother has a huge three pool companies now. Influenced my home. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Cause a lot of people watching may have had families that were working for other people and said, go to college, get a job kind of mentality. And that's hard to break out of. But so you were so lucky to have a father who showed you the way and showed you that entrepreneurship was possible. I had actually the same thing. My father always had, he was in the music business. He was a manager. He always had his own companies. And so it makes you know that's something that you can do in your life where other people out there don't see that. And so it seems like a crazy thing to be an entrepreneur. So it's a little bit harder. So when you were starting out till now, I know you're phenomenal with sales. And I know you help women be able to improve their sales and not be afraid to sell.
Lots of money on it.
Yeah. Tell us a little about like when you started out in this, did you change directions a lot to get to where you are with sales? Like where did you start to how you got to where you are now?
And again, it's funny because I talked about my dad a few times and I know it's come from my dad, but I think just saying it out loud the way that I just did with you really helped me understand even my desire for sales and it's my expertise. I have almost 100 something thousand hours of sales experience. So we're talking what's 10 times the expertise thing. And I'm saying that because it's just who I am. Do you know what I mean? It's like what I've known. But when I think about my first time really going into it, I do think it was because I watched my dad and his drive and his desire to bring others along with him. And I was selling lollipops in elementary. And when I look back, I was selling people all the time. I knew how, and the thing is with sales, I learned that there's two sides to sales. There's the sales that's real, that we all love, which is relationships and fun and caring and empathy and compassion and all this yummy stuff and collaboration. And then there's sales that is lying and manipulation. And when I was younger, right after that, I had my sister die and she drowned in our pool when I was 10. Yeah, she was a year and a half. And
oh my God.
I moved from Las Vegas. My dad was very depressed. So my dad really was in a bad place. And my mom, of course, how could you not be? And when we went to Fallbrook in California, I had nowhere to go. I was very isolated inside. And I started doing drugs and alcohol and sexually promiscuous at 12.
Oh my God.
The crazy part of that is, though, I lied all the time. I became a literal compulsive liar. I was so good at lying. And I could, because I'm a good salesperson, I could tell somebody something and they would believe me. And at 16, I had an experience where I was at a party and it's the craziest, weirdest thing. And it's hard to explain sometimes when I tell this, but I was like sitting behind this couch and I hadn't been drinking very much or anything yet. And I looked over, I felt this person next to me and I'm like, oh, somebody's standing next to me. And I looked over and it was like, it's like my eyes were opened to the other side or what was beyond just this physical realm we saw. And I saw myself, but I was perfect. I was like this perfect being. And I was just, chills went through my body and I saw it in a second and I knew it was me. And it was me as my true self, my true potential, my true value, everything that I was. And in that moment, I changed everything. I stopped doing crystal meth. Nobody even knew I was doing it in my family. Nobody knew, except my friends. Been doing it for 2 years, stopped it that day, like the next day or something. I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking, all on my own. And the coolest part is I started telling the truth. So I started saying every single thing I thought or did, I would share with people. They didn't know I was doing that, but I didn't even realize. It's so crazy at 16. How do you know to do that? But I knew, there's something so important, just being real and honest. Like at that point, when I saw my true self, I knew I had to be honest all the time. I wasn't willing to lie anymore. So I was just telling the truth all the time.
That's incredible. And an awakening, like literally what you read about in books, when somebody has an awakening, like you literally had that experience to see your true self in perfection. And at 16, to make those changes, that's like amazing. But to have that experience and to actually do that, wow.
And who knows why we have what we have, right? Except as you get to have your life, you get to see it. I think I didn't even really see that experience as such a big deal until I started working more in my like late 20s. And people were asking me questions. And I'm like, whoa, this happened. And I didn't even really remember it. So there's probably things that all of us have somewhere in our lives that were so impactful to us, but we've coded it over with something. Because what I believe is we're coding over who we really are, right? Like the true potential, the true capacity we are. But the whole point of why I brought this up with sales is I really saw the opposition or the contrast of lying and manipulating and still getting your way in a lot of ways, but being this hidden person where you can be honest and then being real and just myself in my truth and happy self and being able to just sell people to anything. I had many people start drugs because of me. I hate saying that. I can sell. And so that was like, I think just this, because I believe sales is an internal journey. It's not an external thing. And that was the beginning of me just going, okay, whatever I do in my life, whatever I choose, massage, all these things, soul cars, whatever, I have to be honest. I have to be real. I have to be able to say, I have to know what I need to say to them that helps them understand what they need. And then also coming from a true place of what I really think about it. If I didn't think something was good, I ain't going to sell it. So I believe it's not going to be sold for me.
See, you just like the whole thing about a lot of women feel like sales are yicky. They don't want to sell. They have that, just saying the word sales is not sales. And you just explained, yeah, because when you think that, we're aligning with that whole yicky, lying, manipulative association with sales. But we naturally sell all the time without knowing that we're selling. We love something and we want to help somebody and we're telling them to buy something that can help them with this. We're recommending things. We're like, oh, I love this product. It worked for me. And we don't even benefit. We do that because we genuinely want to help others. But in essence, we are selling. We're convincing someone to do something. And that's all the word selling really is.
That's all.
But we're coming from a place of authenticity and our true self. Because if we can reframe in our brains sales in that way, that yucky, yucky word sales, because I know it freaks everybody out. We all have these, not you didn't, but like most of us have that, oh, I don't want to sell. It's just, oh, it's because we don't want that yucky, yucky, kind of sales. We don't want to do that to people. We don't want, because we've had that done to us where we felt really, ugh.
Exactly. We've all had it.
But about it. It's amazing. Just reframing it.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that, because reframing something, like even for you, you reframed it. And maybe somebody else is going to watch this and maybe it was like, oh yeah, okay. Yet what's crazy about reframing is we actually have to have the experience ourselves to actually reframe it. That's what I believe, is that it has to become an experiential thing for you. And so if we are not willing to open ourselves, like even this conversation, if somebody listens to this, it's okay. I actually want to have the experience of loving sales only because it's a healing agent, not a manipulation agent. It is a true thing that we all do. And if I don't learn how to do this, my life is going to be harder, right? So if you go, okay, I'm going to do that. And then it's, okay, what experiences can I have? And I have different strategies and formulas and stuff to help do that. But it's just to open yourself to it and go, okay, how can I reframe my brain? And really the main thing is you just got to experience yourself in love and truth. And once you start doing, that's why all these things you hear out there, like literally when you start doing that, because what changed everything for me? It was seeing myself.
Yes.
That's why I believe in that so much, because it changed, it literally changed my existence. I would have been on the streets, probably pregnant or dead. Literally, I would have been.
Oh my God.
If I had not seen that moment that God gave me, that moment, I would be a totally different person right now. I probably would not be on the planet. I'm almost positive I would be. Because I was dating murderers and crazy people. Like I was in a very bad situation.
That was a gift from God, yeah, from the universe.
Totally. Gave
me a moment. And I think I think maybe the key just came to me. It's okay. Instead of the word, it's probably a word thing. Sell, sales. What about serve? Because I've heard that thing, selling is service. So what if I'm going to serve somebody?
Let me tell you something that I played with words like this because I worked with women, because this is the biggest issue is women don't want to sell. And they'll do everything to not get on a phone call, which is crazy. We're about connection and community like you. Isn't it crazy that you wouldn't get on a call? Let's just, if you don't mind me using you, if you're okay.
No, because I actually don't get on a call. I don't sell on, like, I'm the type of person you want to join, fine. You don't? Okay. Because I'm like, I don't like that. Like, I don't like sales. Yeah.
I love it. So let's take you for example. Okay. So you don't like sales. So why don't you like sales? Let me reframe it. Why don't you like getting on the phone to do to sell something of yours?
Maybe it's more of a psychological thing back to when I was 18, okay, single mom. And one of my first jobs was in a boiler room as a numismatic advisor. That's a mouthful. Basically selling rare coins. I knew nothing. I was 18, 19 years old. And they told me, okay, the first thing I should have known, but I was very naive. And they said, we got to change your name. You're going to be Christine Hayes. I'm like, okay, cool. Not knowing anything. So they gave me scripts and I would just innocently call people and sell them these coins. And then I realized later, after a while, if I'm making a 20% commission on these coins, these people aren't making any money on that. And it was yicky. Like, and I got out of that business because I was like, oh my God, but I was naive. So maybe that's what psychologically, and I think maybe all of us have these experiences, like when we did sell and it was yicky and we feel bad about it, or these traumas that we had around sales, or somebody sold us something and it didn't work out and we felt yicky. So maybe that's why women have this, because.
Well, and yes. Really? And you just hit the nail on the head for you, at least. You just clumped your mind for a reason. So if you just get present and we all. And again, this is to me what's so important is I ask you a question and that's what came to your mind, right?
Yes.
So if you trust that feminine part of you to really believe that that came to your mind for a reason. And what's interesting, what's crazy to me, what you just said, is you said they made you change your name. And you even said, what if we change the name of sales to serve?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Yes. Wow. And even thinking back now, memories are coming back. The environment I was in, the owner of the company would make sexually disgusting comments as he'd walk by. And I was a young mother. I was 19 years old. It was a very toxic environment with men that were in a boiler room, basically, that were disgusting. And this was one of my first jobs, being a single mom with a baby. Gosh. So that's where I got some of these negative stuff, like you said, having to change my name. And as a woman being put in that position, being told that this is how you have to make money. And being in
that's amazing. That you don't even realize. I think you're seeing it a little bit, but that's amazing what that really did to you.
Yeah,
because you're young too. When you're naive, you really do lean on those experiences as your first. It's almost like it created that new little pathway in your brain of a belief that now you have, and that belief you kept, right? Something go, especially just being there for a period of time, created that belief to get a little bit bigger. Maybe in 3 months, you have a highway now in your brain of this belief. Now you're happy to go in your life. And if you don't see that as a belief now, which you probably didn't, and most of us don't, that belief is going to keep getting bigger, possibly even create another belief that creates another highway. So now you think about it, a lot of us women have these massive amounts of highways in our brains. You think about LA and there's just all these highways and it's all these beliefs. Of course, we're scared crapless of doing sales, or we are just so pushing it away because we are so in our heads about this. So yeah. In our heads about this.
The trigger. So like, I didn't realize any of this till right now. So it's literally a pathway was formed. Sales are yucky. That was a yucky experience. That was uncomfortable and gross. And now I had that put in my head. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm getting on the phone with people because that's.
And how, look at how many years later, 30 some odd years later, look what's happened. You know what I mean, though? I mean, that's so fascinating. But this is such a good example. So let me just now let's look at it from a different point of view. Let's say you now see that sales, you had them, they had you change their name. We're not going to change the name of sales because everybody knows it already is. It was born into sales. I don't know. Like you were born into Christina.
Right.
So if you were to go, okay, what is sales really to you right now? What do you really believe sales is? When you, and what I'm asking you to do, if you can go into your body, okay, we're going to bypass your mind a little bit if you're willing to do that, because you're a very feminine woman, your senses, your intuition, your body speaks louder actually than you realize. And when you just start listening, it'll tell you. So if you just got present for just a minute or a couple seconds, what do you feel like when you just feel into your body? And you feel sales. Now you may still go back to that old thing, but let's just test it and see if you don't mind.
In the body without thought, I do feel, again, a triggered from sales, like a kind of yucky tightness.
So why that would probably be coming on, and you may already know. Maybe do you know why that's coming on?
Oh, awesome. I don't know why that it's well, interesting. I don't know, but those women have been just so conditioned against this. Right? Like, why am I feel? Because logically, my brain is saying it is serving because I'm helping people. I guess maybe it's something to do with being pushy and not wanting to push people to do things they don't want to do and letting them.
Well, look what you just said. It was manipulation. It was icky men like using you for, you have no soul. You have no nothing. You're even a different name, for goodness sakes. That's like prostitution, basically, is what you just did. In a way, the energy is like that.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Which is crazy. So I think that's where that it's going to be released. The negative past stuff that got connected to that somewhere to say
so
that.
I'll tell you a lot of people teach intuition for women and all of this stuff. I actually say with some of my clients, I've had to tell some of my clients because they have so much trauma from these kind of things and they do go into their bodies and their bodies still respond trigger wise. We have to actually tell them to not trust their intuition.
Wow. That's an interesting one. Wow. So that's really interesting because, yeah, I'm one also. They always trust your higher self, your inner self.
You actually can't.
Problem is, sometimes the question is, what is your higher self and what is fear? Can you tell the difference? So how do you tell?
That's our job as women. And that's what we help and train women. When I talk about the feminine, we were talking about it before. That's part of the strategies we do is to help to understand when you're given a thought and you're given reason or logic to understand something. And then as you work through that, and it takes a little bit of time for some women just can get it because they're really ready and they've already done some work to get to that point. But if you haven't done, it may take a little bit of time. Maybe it'll take a week. Maybe it'll take a month. I don't know. It depends on the women that I have. But ultimately what happens is the goal is to help you understand what truth is. Okay. What true truth is. We know sales is not bad. Just objectively. Because we know everybody... And if you don't sell, you don't have business, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so we know that is a truth. That being said, then whatever you respond to that with in your body, in your mind, as you get triggered with things, as we kind of work through stuff, what happens is you're guided the right way. What happens is you start having your intuition connected to the truth of sales, the truth of what it is, which for you, it's service.
Exactly. So yeah, I have no problem being on a webinar or like talking to the people once about something I believe in. Like I don't recommend anything I don't believe in, whether it's someone else's product or I have no problem selling in that way. I guess there's that psychological block of the one-on-one phone call type of thing.
So, and let me ask you a question. What, and again, if you're okay, just this is maybe a raw question to ask, but I just feel like you're so open and willing to do this. So for you, how is it affirming 800,000 women that you're leading right now to have a almost think you're a prostitute or sick feeling about doing sales one-on-one?
I guess I feel like it's not something I want to personally get on phone calls to do. Like other people could do that if that was necessary. But yeah, that would be harming because the things that could help them are not, maybe not being conveyed enough. The things that we have that are truly beneficial. Because if I believe something is truly beneficial, I'm
exactly. And if you look at it, sales is sales. Whether you want to sales or not, you still are. It's sales is still the energy of sales. It's the truth. Whether it's 101, whether it's a group, whether it's automation. Some people may hate automation and selling like that because they're so focused on 101, right? We don't know. But the point is, it doesn't matter the strategy. It matters that you actually have any kind of true major block towards sales.
And I think, yeah, because I think overall, I don't, as far as what I know will work for people and what I want to help them with, that I believe in, like you said, truth. That is no problem for me to convey. But the thought of getting on the yicky is, oh, let's get on a phone and try to convince somebody to do something. That is my trigger. So that's what
I'm looking at. What happened? I said, take your mind out of it. And I said, still think of sales.
Yeah.
And in your life, it happened.
Yes. Yeah. But if I think of myself all talking on a webinar or on stage or something, I don't have that yucky feeling at all.
Because you've trained yourself. You just trained yourself to believe that's safe.
Yeah, that I feel confident in. And yeah, so this is fascinating. I'm sure so many people are listening right now.
Yeah.
It's a block for so many women. You'll have your own blocks around this.
And really quick, I just want to be clear with this. The main reason I'm even saying this, and I appreciate you playing along, Christina, is everything in life, it's an internal, right, relationship we have.
Yes.
When there are things that are just truth and we are resistant to them, it's up to us to decide what we want to do with that. What is the cost of staying resistant? And what is the cost of healing it? And it's our brains will get involved, like yours just did. And so right. I like this. It feels good here. Like your brain's trying to make sense of the fact that you don't like sales. But at the end of the day, let's be honest,
let's be honest, right?
So the point is, like, it's undercurrent of everything inside of us is what frees us in our businesses. It's what frees us in our marketing. It's what frees us in our sales. Like, this is how we can succeed as women, is when we heal that deeper part of our. See, you're manipulating yourself. You're manipulating yourself without even knowing you're doing it by doing what you just did.
It's interesting because I think as women, one of our problems is too, we're caregivers. We want the best for everybody. So we're get into that as well. That's part of our blocks too. Right. Doubting ourselves or not. We're, like we say, always asking for permission or not just being free to speak our truths. Yeah. And I think that probably has a lot to do with it too. When they don't like sales in general, like they want other people to do the sales or sales by the DM or whatever they want, because it's that yucky feeling. I'm sure it's a big thing. There's so many women
in all of us. And the only reason I believe that I don't have so much is just because I had that experience and I believe God gave me a gift of just, I see the truth of people. I've always seen, even before then, I could see people. I knew who they were, the truth of them. I knew they were powerful. So no matter what they tried to tell me, I didn't believe it. That's why my mom always, you can be friends with anybody. You can be friends with the total nerdy guy that nobody has friends with or doesn't have friends, or the person who's like the most popular person. I can be friends with everybody. So you have the ability to be able to really love and appreciate this beautiful thing that sails in our lives. And I think the only way we women can do it, I believe, is through understanding truly what the feminine is, what the feminine parts of us are, and healing those feminine parts. People say that all the time. And I battled that. I thought maybe we're supposed to be healing the masculine parts, blah, 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 right? Back and forth. But it's like, we're supposed to heal both, obviously. But the truth is, you as a woman, look, if you can't trust your intuition, isn't that some power as a woman gone from you right now?
I think we have to trust in our higher. I believe your intuition is your higher self, your true self, but those self
but
that
if
you
locked are, with all that mind chatter and all those beliefs, how can you do that?
We have not even around only sales as women, we have so much. And I think too, I'm thinking getting my intuition's feeling like there's a more a lot to this woman in general is, especially with the in-person thing, it's like accepting, like having people give you money, like right there on the spot. Is that polite? Or are we told things that, I'm just saying, a lot of women might be happy.
No, it's true.
Hey, girl. Oh, that's not polite to be aggressive or to be trying to convince somebody. Like these are like, all these things are going around. That's so crazy. Many. You don't even really. Yeah, it's crazy because we were literally conditioned like that.
What's funny is at the end of the day, sales is just relationships. That's all it is. Love and relationships. It makes me emotional. I can start crying about it. And that's how real it is to me. Like I do it perfect? No. And right now, maybe I'm doing this. I do it probably less than perfect right now because I'm not doing tons of sales calls. But I believe sales calls are the greatest healer of all besides video. I think video and sales are two of the greatest healers that we have on the planet right now. We literally come back to who we are by doing it.
Yeah. And I think a question is to ask yourself if you struggle with sales. When you think of the time when you were selling, you didn't know you were selling and enjoying it. And I do this all the time. So my dogs, they go to a place called Fur Babies across the street.
I do that.
And yeah, they have three locations here in Scottsdale. Yeah. It's like every time I'm walking my dogs, I'm talking to dogs, oh, do your dog. We start talking and I'm like recommending Fur Babies. I'm selling Fur Babies to them.
Totally.
Oh, here, it's the best. Go bring it. Go see the owner. And I do so many things. Like I'm recommending. I'm like, oh, and I feel really good. Like I am helping those people. So I think that's how we should be feeling for our own stuff and for
good.
Have that.
And I will tell you, if we added in a component where you said to the owner that you were going to start referring them and you said that you would get money for the referrals, I'll bet you $1 million, it would change. Do you see, like, we have to look at this other part that is the scary part for us, which money usually ends up being the sleazy, slimy, all the crap that we have connected to it at the end of the day. And it's funny that you were even doing money stuff in coins back in the, when you're 18 too. That's crazy too. But if at the end of the day, see how we're not even willing to be like, look, so you have a beautiful thing set up for women where we get a referral. You are a member in the Standout Online. And if we refer people and they sign up with our link, we get $30 or something like or whatever it is. And it's like such a win.
Yeah.
But if you, I don't have issues with that. But people that do have issues with all of that stuff and their value inside and their feminine energy and their power to be able to stand in who they are and their convictions and all this yummy stuff, you're going to struggle with that. You're not going to give out that link. And how many women are not going to give out the link? Probably 99% of your women are not going to be able to give out that link.
You just hit upon 5%. Yeah, you just hit upon something shocking. Yeah, because like you said, if you take out in the money component, right? If it wasn't a money component, and you'd be like shouting it from the rooftops. But then when there's a money, there's some psychological thing that, like you said, 99% of us or whatever percentage have that something is saying it's maybe whatever voice, not polite. Sales. It's sales, but it's more than
that. I'm saying sales represents all that to me, I guess is what I mean.
It represents as a kid, like maybe your mother said, oh, it's not polite to ask for money or it's not to do whatever triggers. We're like, as women, like conditioned to be so polite and not, oh, we're going to make money. Like, I think that's probably what is going on here as a collective.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, one of the powerful things we have as women is we're receivers. That trait is receiving. All this paradigm stuff with that cultural stuff, like you're talking about with sales and money, to receive a gift from giving a gift or receiving just $30 for somebody who could change their lives, right? But our brains don't think that way.
You just hit upon something so interesting. So how many women, if you're watching, think about this. How many of you are givers and you love to give gifts? You love to give your time to your family, to your friends. But when someone gives it to you, it's like you feel, not that you don't deserve it, but it's like feels awkward. Because as women, we're the givers. We're the caretakers.
But we're not. The feminine is not the giver. And a lot of women want to be feminine is, I guess, the question.
But why have we been trained as women?
Well, the main reason is because we've been trained to be like men. Men are givers, but it's screwed up in culture right now where they see this toxic. Let me tell you, bet you all the women that you're talking to right now that said yes are also burnt out, are hesitant to give more, are struggling, are in bad
blood, for themselves.
Right? Okay, so they don't receive and they now believe that they're supposed to be giving all the time. And this is the problem. A woman who is in her feminine and leading her feminine, especially in business, if she learns how to heal these parts of herself, you will receive the money with total appreciation and gratitude. And what happens is you fill it up. That whole cup thing is so corny, but it's true. You'll fill it up. And now the gifts and giving pour out of you. Literally, you can't stop giving. You will give and give only because you have that receiving muscle so freaking like in place and so strong that you can't not give. And anybody around you will be able to receive and just get the blessings that you have from them. That's when they talk about blessings from heaven coming down on you. I believe this is how a woman receives. I believe a man receives that by giving, and then that comes back to him, like the infinity symbol. Or a man, I'll say men, but masculine, feminine, if you think about it like that.
This is actually brilliant. This is something I don't think many people have realized. And so many women, and it's not only money, it's their time. Like, they won't do things for themselves. They'll buy things for their kids and for their friends and their spouse. But when it comes to them, they'll buy the cheapest, or they won't be up all night. They're not going to take that time for self-care. Or
it's so sad, because then we just get burnt out, and then all these beautiful voices. You know, think of all the women.
So
powerful and so gifted and so amazing. It makes me want to cry. I get so emotional about this stuff. I'm trying to hold it back, but it's crazy. It's like they're sitting there and they cannot do it. They can't expose that part of themselves that's so ready to be exposed. And then they beat on themselves. They shame themselves. They're stuck. And a lot of us are doing that in some way, shape, or form, probably, I'm sure, in some way. But
so how would be the first, let's break it down. What would be the first step? So now you are this big giver. We're talking to a woman, and I'm thinking we're hitting a lot of women who are doing this.
Yeah, I think it's probably a big percentage of the women.
And you're taking care of, and you're not taking care of yourself. You're not treating yourself. You feel guilty when you spend money on yourself. You buy something and you're like, oh gosh, it's because it's for you. But if it was for someone else, you wouldn't have a problem with it. So what would be the first baby step that you could take in the right direction to start to loosen this up and change this belief around?
There's two things you could possibly go, but let me do this one. If you want to lead in the feminine in your life, meaning in business and in your, if you don't even know what that means, then let me send you, I'll just send you the quick list of the feminine so you can have what the feminine traits and
characteristics
are. Okay. But if you really do, if you're sensing, I love being in that feminine space. So I want to have that. Then the first thing you got to do is you got to look at the relationships you have right now. And you need to rate them 1 to 10. And if it's a 10 and it feels great and wonderful and your body feels excited, then it's great. It's great for you. Maybe just pull back a little bit on the giving in some area, look at it. But if you feel ones in these areas with different people, stop giving to those people for a period of 7 days. And what I mean is, it's a hard one, but I'm just saying, like, even just one person, pick one. I don't know. Even your husband. If you have a man, what my number one thing is, especially any men around you that you're with, your dad, your husband, your partner, your boss, even if it's actually, you can even go back to a day. Go to a day and just whatever feeling, like if there's something off with them, you're just feeling like you're edgy all the time, or you're always fighting, or you're just bugged, you think negative thoughts about them all the time. Let yourself just go back for a day, 24 hours, and just say, okay, I'm not going to give anything to them. I'm going to just receive from them. Now, the problem is you may not know what receiving is. That's the other problem. Women know what giving is very fast, but we don't know what receiving is. We can't put it into like physical terms. But I would say just give yourself 24 hours and just allow them to send you texts, ask you questions, right? Just let that happen instead of going out and doing it yourself. Don't reach out to them. Don't say the thing. Don't tell them what you think. Don't tell them how you feel. None of it. See if you can just do that for 24 hours and just see how you feel. See what happens. See what resistance happens. I know that sounds ambiguous, but I'm telling you, it will open up so many doors inside of you to go, oh, this is I think you'll know the next step even after that.
This is like amazing. And I'm thinking too, it's coming to me now that a lot of this has to do with our mothers. And seeing how they were, like, if I think of my mother, catered to my dad's passed away. My dad, she did everything, even to me and my brother. Like, we were sick. She was up all night. She was taking care of us, and she would not do a lot of things for herself. And so, like, we model that. we model what our mothers have done too. And it gets passed down generation to generation. And I see
1,000% right. 1,000%.
My own kids, like my kids would be barfing all night. My ex-husband would peek his head out of the room and go back to sleep. And I was taking care. I was doing. And now I see my older daughter, who's got 3 kids. She's superwoman. She's the caregiver.
Are we proud of that?
Take care of herself, though. Like, she won't get for herself, but she'll do it for her. So this is a pattern. Unless we stop, it's going down and down. And I'm thinking this ties in big time to the whole sales thing that we don't even know about.
1,000%.
It's that whole receiving and giving is all behind. It's not even about it's about that.
And again, if you want to be the feminine, this is, again, the choice to be the feminine leader. Doesn't mean you're not masculine. We're both, right? It's yin yang. We have it in us. It's negative, positive. Like, it's just life. But if you want to lead in the feminine, in your life, in business, meaning you want to have more, again, you got to know what the feminine is. So a lot of people are just even don't even understand that. But if you want that, that's why my husband's out of the house right now. I had him leave the house a month ago. And I have 2 girls that are 21 and 18. And you don't think I'm watching how they're dating men? You don't think that I've been seeing myself watching it? And I'm feeling so icky. And I've been dealing with sickness. My husband, it's been really wacky the last couple of years. And I've let it happen. And I had to put my foot down inside and say, wait, I cannot have any more of this in my home. None. It cannot exist. Because I was thinking not only about myself, but I knew if my daughter saw me living this way, that they were going to, because I saw it with their, and we had very verbal, open conversations about this. And my point is, like, once my husband left, we had an intervention with my husband on Sunday. This is personal. And he's usually good about me saying stuff, which is crazy. My 3 daughters, 11, 18, and 21, wrote letters to their dad because he has some addiction stuff, but also just, we know the masculine and feminine, and we're very aware of it. And we've been talking about it for 3 months. And when he left, we had a lot of conversations about how we felt, what we were experiencing, what was not right, what did not feel good, what he was doing that was like manipulation and that we couldn't see it. And once they did these letters, and I have never, ever in my life felt this kind of power I felt from girls, never.
Oh my God.
They were able to say the truth about what they knew that they deserved. They could say it, and they were so aware of what was manipulation and what was right and what was just right, just true, to be treated as a woman. And my husband, he was crying and he was very like, but I cannot tell you, he left the house, and we have been on cloud 9 ever since. My girls are in how do I explain it? Here we're going through a separation and my girls are like on fire. They're happy. They're my daughter, who is sick, 11, she's like dancing around the house and she misses her dad. She put a picture of him by her wall. How do you explain that to an 11-year-old? But because they are in their feminine power, they understand their feminine place in the world. They are so empowered right now. And my husband gets it. And we gave him we gave him this is what we deserve. You want to do it or not? We cannot live this way anymore. And what I'm saying is, my last daughter at the very end said, Dad, when you text me, I can read right through it. I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. And she said, you might as well not even text me, because the way you're treating my mom, I am knit in heart with my mom. And the way you're treating my mom is how I will know you are really truthful and you are being the man that we can depend on and love and just really go forward with. She's like, I will watch how you treat my mom. That's what she said, the very last thing. And then he left. Sorry, that was a long story, but.
Oh, no, but it's like shows like you've empowered your daughters now. That's you put them in their ultimate power to speak their truth to their dad, who they love, and tell him their honest, heartfelt truth. And that's why they feel that joy of relief, even though it's a sad situation and it's devastating that dad moved out. But they're able to freely express that to their dad, which that's such a difficult thing to do to a parent in general.
I can't even explain it. There's so much that we're going on. I guess the other thing with this is Marley, my 18-year-old, was just crying about how much she loves him and how powerful he is and how much she sees that power in him and how he's just so weak right now and so doing this and how she needs him to get strong again. But the point of that is This is what we can do at our sales calls. This is the opportunity we have as women. We can be empowered and feel free and still love that person on the other end when they say no.
Yes.
Hold that for whoever, man, woman on the other side, because we understand who we are and what we deserve. We understand it.
It's healing. And when you see other people, the way people often they rise up to that, it's like the highest form of prayer. If you ever heard of Neville Goddard, he did a lot of, I love his stuff from back, I don't know, it was 1920s, 30s. And he says that is the proper way to pray is to see person as healthy as you want them to be, not to energy of, oh my God, you're so sick, I'm going to cry. Seeing them in perfection, imagining the phone call that they're better. That's how you should pray. And I was like, that's shocking. That is
that.
Nope. Your girl seeing dad as the person they know he is, his true self, like you saw your true self.
But how do they do that? They're doing it because they saw me step into my, power. They felt empowered and they could start searching and looking for it. And then they empowered him. That's the crazy. Women, and when we're, again, men too, when they go into their feminine, they have the ability to empower us so much.
We can do this for others. We really can. Oh my gosh, Jennifer, this has been absolutely amazing. I wanted you to let everybody know, because I'm sure everybody watching is going to want to know more. And we should actually maybe dive deeper into this. Do like a
break more parts of her.
Dive it. But where can they get in contact with you? And I know you said you have something.
We have some funnels we're building and stuff for things because I have not been satisfied with them. I have not felt good about them. So they're not out there in the world right now. But really, it's just getting a conversation. So just DM me and Jennifer Lambrie either in Instagram or in Facebook. And it's so cliche to say that, just DM me. But I'm telling you, if you're open to any of that we're talking about and you really are on a true, which I believe every woman is, a true search for your power, just get in a conversation with me and we'll just talk a little bit about it and see where it goes, whether I lead you to somebody else or whatever it is. If you need help, we'll figure it out.
Oh, I love that, Jennifer. That is so generous. And I think this conversation alone can help so many women. And we got to continue this because this is something nobody's talking about. And we're all businesswomen, but we're humans. And this is an issue and we don't even realize it's an issue. And I love this. So thank you so much. Up and sharing your heart with us and sharing this with us. It's enlightened me today. I'm like, whoa.
You're so vulnerable too. Thank you for being so open.
Oh my gosh. I love it. We're all in this together. We are women helping women. So this is something that we need to have these conversations and more honest. Think just like this is authentic, being authentic and helping one another and opening up and speaking our truths. And oh, I got chills. It's just amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jennifer. And so DM Jennifer Lamprey. You can just click on her name. I'll tag her in here. It's Lamprey. Two N's in Jennifer or one? I always forget.
I'm the old school Jennifer.
Yes. And yeah, we will definitely let you know when we're going to do this again. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.